Who else is here to tell us who you are and where you're calling in from?
Arnita.
Dan, Las Vegas.
Hey, Dan. Good morning, Arnita. Good morning. Welcome to the call.
Christopher Rochetti, New Jersey.
Hey, Christopher Rochetti. Welcome to the call.
Thank you, Paul.
Charles and Ginger from Marina Del Rey.
Good morning, and welcome to the call.
The call is Elise in Atlanta.
Hey, Elise, great to hear you this morning.
This is Marcus in Baltimore.
Hey, Marcus, welcome to the call. Hey, quick question. Who's excited to be alive? Is anyone grateful today?
I am.
I am grateful to be alive today. Yeah, baby. All right.
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to wish you a fabulous, terrific Tuesday. Welcome, welcome, welcome to today. Welcome to your life. Welcome to your business. Welcome to your gift. Your time to be alive on this earth. Your time to come forth and make a decision as to what you are going to make happen in your life. The time to make a decision as to whether you're going to live. I'm not even going to say whether. The time to make a decision that you, my friend, today are going to live a life of greatness. The time for you to make a decision that you're going to get out there and make the best of yourself. The time for you today to make a decision that you're going to take your life, this gift that you've been given, this time that you have on this earth, and you're going to make the most of it. You're going to get excited. You're going to embrace opportunity. You're going to be an action taker. You're going to move forward, and you're going to live in such a way that people look to you and say, my goodness, look at him, or my goodness, look at her. Oh, my gosh, I want to be more like that person. I want to live with passion. I want to live with enthusiasm. I want to live with excitement, and gosh dang it, I want to make something of my life. That's who you are, my friend, and I want to just congratulate you. You reach through the phone and pat you on the back and say, you know what, great job. Thank you for being different. Thank you for being someone who would actually pick up the phone on a Tuesday morning and join the ranks of entrepreneurs across the globe who gather together on a daily basis to give each other strength, to wake each other up, to encourage each other, to help each other think a little bit better, to help each other be a little bit more tolerant, to help each other seek and grasp a little bit more wisdom. I'll tell you, if you can't tell, I'm fired up. This morning I woke up, I went to the gym, I'm on the treadmill, I'm breathing, my blood's pumping, and I've got my headphones in. You know, I've got my little yellow earbuds, one stuck in my left ear, the other stuck in my right ear, and I've got this audio training pumping through my head where I'm listening to people who make more money than I do. And I'll tell you, as I was listening to these nuggets of wisdom, these little gems that were being dropped on this training, I got off the treadmill and I just started to pace around the gym because I got excited. I just started, you know, thinking about all the amazing, miraculous experiences that have happened in my life. And this audio training, I'll actually share with you a little bit about what it was talking about. It was talking about how if you think about the way things have happened in your life, if you think about the experiences that you've had, and you start to think about all of the little scenarios and things that had to have happened for that experience to come into your life, you start to realize that your life and your experiences are composed of miracles. And you start to realize that, you know, crazy stuff has happened in your life. And one of the folks on the call that I was listening to said, you know, after thinking about this and analyzing this, I've come to the conclusion that there is no such thing as coincidence. Like, you know, things happen for a reason. And I started thinking about that, and I started thinking about my life, and I started thinking about this call and all the crazy things that had to happen for this call to come together, for me to even be on the phone today with each of you at this point in my life, the strange and marvelous and wonderful things that, you know, had to have happened for all of this to come together. Back in 2010, I was broke. I had, you know, literally a few hundred dollars coming into my bank account on a monthly basis, I was married. I had two kids at the time, another one on the way. My wife was pregnant, living in a trailer house. And my third son was born in December of 2000 and December of 2010. And so January of December 2009, and then January of 2010 comes along. I'm broke. I'm struggling. I actually quit my job. I'm trying to make this network marketing thing work. My wife comes home from our third son's doctor's checkup, and she's in tears, and she says, you know, he's got this problem with his head, and we've got to go to Primary Children's Hospital, and we've got to, you know, pony up $50,000 for this $50,000 surgery. And I'm at a point in my life where I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I kneel down on my knees, and I prayed. I literally, at the feet of my two oldest children, Caden and Camden, 4 and 2 at the time, I kneeled down at their little bedside. This is a true story, but it's stranger than fiction. I kneeled down at their bed, and I prayed to God to help me find a way to somehow bring the income into my life that I need to provide for my family. And you know what happened? In a short amount of time, I choose to believe that I was prompted to pick up the book Think and Grow Rich and begin a serious study. And what was the difference? I'd actually read this book several times before in my life. Didn't make the change. In fact, 6 years previous, I remember picking up the book Think and Grow Rich. I read it. I actually set a major definite purpose. As a matter of fact, I was listening to the call archives as I'm getting them posted on the website. And I remember one call, I was talking about how I actually found the document from 6 years earlier where I had read the book Think and Grow Rich and I had written out my major definite purpose. And somehow I had kept that document. 6 years later, that money had not come into my life. You know, 6 years, I wrote the book, I set the major definite purpose, but it didn't work for me. Well, for some reason, after that prayer in 2010, I made a decision that I was going to follow what that book taught. I was going to fold down the cut. Every time that book told me to do something, I was going to fold it down. When it talked about the power of auto-suggestion, it said go out on a daily basis and repeat that major definite purpose twice a day. I was going to do it this time because I was in a position in my life where I had to make things happen. Well, you know what? Magic happened. Money started coming into my life. People started being attracted into my life. I started this call. Doc Fran, my good friend, you know, we hear him on the call all the time. We love his wisdom. We really enjoy hearing from Doc Fran. He called me out of the blue. We didn't know each other. And starts to develop a relationship with me. Long story short, that relationship turns into a six-figure income. I actually, from that relationship, got to go on a cruise that was sponsored by my company. On that cruise, I won't tell you the whole story, but I met a guy named Mike Hobbs, who many of you on this call know. Him and his wife Christy and my wife and I, one night on this cruise, we got talking and both of us weren't appreciating what was happening in a certain part of the cruise. So we walk off together, we get in the hot tub and we have an evening together where we talk in the hot tub before we go to bed out in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean in this hot tub. Well, many of you are on this call because Mike Hobbs and his team, you know, they do a lot of marketing and they've told you about this call. How crazy is that? You might be on this call because Mike Hobbs and I, for some reason, were on a ship in the middle of the ocean sitting in a hot tub and we formed a relationship and he saw value in this call and he started promoting it. How crazy is that? Anyway, the bottom line on these stories that I'm sharing with you this morning is that when you start to pay attention to things in your life, when you start to direct your focus, like for instance this morning we're talking about crazy stories that, you know, lead up to where you're at this point in your life. When you start to pay attention to that stuff, it seems like more of it happens in your life. And what on earth does all of this have to do with what we're going to talk about today? Well, today, my friends, we're going through The Science of Getting Rich by Wallace Waddell. And today, there's a two-page chapter we're going to cover. The chapter is called, it's entitled Gratitude. It's entitled Gratitude. And for the vast majority of us who get on this phone every morning, I'll tell you what, we're people who are grateful. We're people who, you know, wake up in the morning and just look up to the sky and say, thank you for another gift. You know, do I understand this miracle of life? Do I understand where it came from? Do I understand, you know, how it came to be and all the whys and wherefores and all this stuff? Boy, I'll tell you, I don't. So much of it is such a mystery to me, but as Doc Fran says, you know, if you knew all the answers, what fun would that be, right? So, yeah, a lot of it's a mystery, but here's one thing that I do understand, and I think most of you on the call understand, is that even though we don't understand all of it, even though we don't understand all the little pieces, even though maybe we haven't been able to connect all the dots, we understand that life is a gift, and we remind each other every day on this call that life is a gift. And maybe we start getting on this call, and, you know, we might be in a position like I was 6 years ago, where I was working at a job that I didn't like, and I was working for a company that I felt like oppressed me a little bit and put me in a little box. And I actually remember working in this cubicle every day. I'd have to come in, and on the phone, I'd have to punch in that I was there, and I'd have to punch start when I started working, and I would put my phone on, and I would start making my calls, and then, you know, it would come where I had to go to the bathroom, and I had to push another little button on my phone to say, hey, Paul Hutchings is going to the bathroom, and just so, you know, whoever's watching knows, if he doesn't come back in 10 minutes, you know to give him a bad mark on his piece of paper. And I remember working at this job, and I remember complaining, and I remember thinking that it was the company's fault, and I remember thinking that, you know, life just, you know, oppressed me and pushed me down. Well, I go from that situation and maybe not being as grateful for things as I should to where I am now and where many of you are on the call, and you're grateful. And what happens is when you're grateful, you start to notice that more and more good things, you start to notice all the good things that are there, but then you also start to realize that more and more good things happen to you. And maybe you are in a position where I was a few years ago where you didn't notice all the good things that are happening in your life, but by getting on this call, by associating with other entrepreneurs who recognize that stuff and who appreciate it, that starts to spill over into your life. And as you start to notice more and more of that, more and more good stuff happens. Again, it seems to me, and it seems to the leader that I was listening to on the training call this morning, and it seems to other leaders that I've talked to about this stuff, is that although we don't understand how it all works, one of the things that it seems is the case with our mind, and with our subconscious mind in particular, is that we get more of what we focus on. If we focus on the crazy, miraculous, amazing, you know, coincidences that have happened in our lives, we'll start to notice that more and more crazy coincidences happen in our lives. If we focus more and more on the blessings that we have, the good things, the food that we have to eat, the clothes that we have to wear, the roof, the shelter we have over our heads, the nice warm bed that maybe we have to get into when we crawl in bed at night, if we focus on that stuff, it seems like more good things will come into our life. So today's really a big key, folks. We jump into this chapter. In fact, we're going to do it right now. Open your mind, open your heart, see if you can catch some wisdom that maybe wasn't there before as to the why or the how. Let's just pay attention and jump right in, and then we're going to open it up for discussion. Gosh, I'm excited to be alive. I hope you are as well today, my friends. This is Chapter 7, Gratitude, in the book, The Science of Getting Rich. We're going to go through this. The illustrations given in the last chapter will have conveyed to the reader the fact that the first step toward getting rich is to convey the idea of your wants to the formless substance. This is true, and you will see that in order to do so, it becomes necessary to relate yourself to the formless intelligence in a harmonious way. To secure this harmonious relation is a matter of such primary and vital importance that I shall give some space to its discussion here and give you instructions which, if you will follow them, will be certain to bring you into perfect unity of mind with the Supreme Power, or God. The whole process of mental adjustment and attunement can be summed up in one word, gratitude. first, you believe that there is one intelligent substance from which all things proceed. Second, you believe that this substance gives you everything you desire. And third, you relate yourself to it by a feeling of deep and profound gratitude. Many people who order their lives rightly in all other ways are kept in poverty by their lack of gratitude. Having received one gift from God, they cut the wires which connect them with Him by failing to make acknowledgement. It is easy to understand that the nearer we live to the source of wealth, the more wealth we shall receive, and it is easy also to understand that the soul that is always grateful lives in closer touch with God than the one which never looks to Him in thankful acknowledgement. The more gratefully we fix our minds on the Supreme when good things come to us, the more good things we will receive, and the more rapidly they will come. And the reason simply is that the mental attitude of gratitude draws the mind into closer touch with the source from which blessings come. If it is a new thought to you that gratitude brings your whole mind into closer harmony with the creative energies of the universe, consider it well, and you will see that it is true. The good things you have already had come to you along the line of obedience to have come along the lines of obedience to certain laws. Gratitude will lead your mind out along the ways by which things come, and it will keep you in close harmony with creative thought and prevent you from falling into competitive thought. Gratitude alone can keep you looking towards the all and prevent you from falling into the error of thinking of the supply as limited. And to do that would be fatal to your hopes. There is a law of gratitude, and it is absolutely necessary that you should observe the law if you are to get the results you seek. The law of gratitude is the natural principle that action and reaction are always equal and in opposite directions. The graceful outreaching of your mind in thankful praise to the Supreme Intelligence is a liberation or expenditure of force. It cannot fail to reach that to which it is addressed. And the reaction is an instantaneous movement towards you. Draw nigh unto God, and He will draw nigh unto you. That is a statement of psychological truth. And if your gratitude is strong and constant, the reaction in formless substance will be strong and continuous. The movement of the things you want will always be toward you. Notice the grateful attitude that Jesus took, how He always seemed to be saying, "I thank Thee, Father, that Thou hearest me." You cannot exercise much power without gratitude, for it is gratitude that keeps you connected with power. But the value of gratitude does not consist solely in getting you more blessings in the future. Without gratitude, you cannot long keep from dissatisfied thought regarding things as they are. The moment you permit your mind to dwell with dissatisfaction upon things as they are, you begin to lose ground. You fix attention upon the common, the ordinary, the poor, the squalid, and the mean, and your mind takes the form of these things. Then you will transmit these forms or mental images to the formless, and the common, the poor, the squalid, and the mean will come to you. To permit your mind to dwell upon the inferior is to become inferior and to surround yourself with inferior things. On the other hand, to fix your attention on the best is to surround yourself with the best and to become the best. The creative power within us makes us into the image of that to which we give our attention. We are a thinking substance too, and thinking substance always takes the form of that which it thinks about. The grateful mind is constantly fixed upon the best. Therefore, it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and will receive the best. Also, faith is born of gratitude. The grateful mind continually expects good things, and expectation becomes faith. The reaction of gratitude upon one's own mind produces faith, and every outgoing wave of grateful thanksgiving increases faith. The person who has no feeling of gratitude cannot long retain a living faith. and without a living faith, you cannot get rich by the creative method, as we shall see in the following chapters. It is necessary, then, to cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continuously. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. I'm going to read that again because that's one that both myself and many people I work with, I know, struggle with. And because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. Do not waste a lot of time thinking or talking about the shortcomings or wrong actions of those in power. Their organization of the world has created your opportunity. All you get really comes to you because of them. Do not rage against corrupt politicians. If it were not for politicians, we should fall into anarchy and your opportunity would be greatly lessened. God has worked a long time and very patiently to bring us up to where we are in industry and government, and he is going right on with his work. There is not the least doubt that he will do away with plutocrats, trust magnates, captains of industry, and politicians as soon as they can be spared. But in the meantime, they are all very necessary. Remember that they are all helping to arrange the lines of transmission along which your riches will come to you, and be grateful. This will bring you into harmonious relations with the good in everything, and the good in everything will move toward you. So that's the chapter, and I just want to add a couple thoughts and then open it up. And the thoughts that I want to add basically are just an expression of gratitude. I am so grateful for this call. I'm so grateful that close to 200 people throughout the world care enough about learning and growing and seeking and finding and understanding and applying truth in their lives that they would get on a call with me every day and with all these other entrepreneurs to talk about this stuff and to seek together. That gratifies me. I'm so grateful for that. I'm so grateful for my friend Chris that when we started this call in 2010, some days it was him and me on the call and nobody else. But he was on the call with me so that I felt like someone else was there. I'm grateful for Melvin and Denise and Rick, who when I'm listening to these calls in the first part of 2010, they're on the call, they're jumping out, they're making comments, and they're providing encouragement, and they're getting on this call every day, every single day. And Dr. Fran as well. You know, he started getting on this call. He's on this call every day, sharing his wisdom and insight. Countless others, John Chapman as of late, Mike Hobbs, so many, too many really to mention, and there's so many that I apologize, I probably shouldn't even started mentioning names. I'm grateful for all of you, because I'll tell you what we're doing with this call. With this call, we're literally like a light in the world, where we seek together to find true principles, apply them, move forward, share them with others, and make this world a better place. And it doesn't matter what company we're in. It doesn't matter what system we're in. It doesn't even really matter what, you know, line of business we're in. We come together with that purpose to saturate our minds with truth, to form a mindset that will be a positive force for good in the world. And I couldn't do it without each of you. I remember Gregor Mestantri, who I'm also grateful for, another leader in our industry. One time I heard him say something that I thought was very profound, and it was, it's not about me, it's about we. See, it starts with the me. It does. It starts with each of us making that decision, but each of us by ourselves, without that we, without that cumulative group effort, you know, it is really kind of powerless. You know, and Napoleon Hill talks about power being organized effort. Well, it's difficult to organize effort if yours is the only effort. So I truly believe that. It's not about, let me restate that, because we're thinkers. If I would restate that line, I would say it is about me and it's about we, because it is about me. You can't just eliminate the me. Me has to make the choice. Me has to make the decision. Me has to decide that I'm going to take my life in a positive direction, and then when I do that, the we starts to come into play and starts to add more power. So thank you, Think and Grow Rich family, for being a positive force in my life and the lives of many others. I'm so grateful for that. And I'm going to open up. Star 6, come on out.
Good morning, Paul.
Hey, good morning, Melvin. I love you, man. Thanks for being here.
Hey, I'm glad you came back with that thought you had about the we and then got back to the me. And, you know, one of the things that I attempt to do is to listen to every word a person speaks. And a lot of what we read and a lot of what we say, there's one word or little things that we can say that have thrown us off.
Hey, Melvin, Star 6, come back out. I'm so sorry. I went to mute my line and accidentally muted all the lines.
Am I there, Paul?
Yeah.
I was saying that I try to listen to every word a person speaks, and including myself, because and we need to listen to ourselves. We could say things sometimes, and one little word can be off, and it takes us down the wrong path. I know you were saying we for a moment, and then you said me, and then the we. And, yeah, it doesn't have to be the we. It can be the me. You have everything within yourself to make things happen. And with or without others, you can do it. Yes, it can be done easier and quicker with others, but be determined to get the job done and do what you need to do if you have to do it alone. Because and the truth is you're never alone. You're always locked into your source. I wanted to also say, in terms of some of the things you're talking about, it's really appreciation, having an appreciation for life, having a love for life, having a and when you have that, that's when responsibility comes in, and to be responsible, to not leave it up to others or other things, but to know that it's in my hands, and that empowers an individual, and every individual already has that power. It's just a matter of the thinking that makes it so. And right thinking makes everything better. Your health, your wealth, your purpose in life, all your fulfillment comes from the right thinking. And so that's what we get from these calls and being on these calls, is to get our thinking right. You get your thinking right, everything else falls in place. And we can keep talking about what God will do. It's what we will do. It's we that makes the difference, because we are one with God. We are one in the same. And so it's our actions, and it's what we take and make of this substance. Back to you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Melvin. Really appreciate those comments. Star 6, who's next? Come on out. Don't
hey,
be shy. Yeah, hey, who's
hey,
up?
Hey, it's Evan Escorted to be in Utah. How you doing?
Hey, Evan, doing great, man. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Hey, I really appreciate your opening monologue there, because it's kind of funny how the universe aligns itself. I woke up real early today, 5 o'clock, and I was sitting at my computer trying to think of something to blog about, and I was listening to an audio program, and I was inspired to turn it off and just start shooting a video, and I came to this video and told about an experience in my life where the universe aligned, you know, everything came back into its place, and certain events led up to this turning point in my life where I, you know, was really at a point in my life where it was a breaking point. I was either going to continue down a path of self-wallowing and pity, or I was going to change and do something. And I came across a quote that changed my life. It's by Dale Carnegie. And the quote is, "Feeling sorry for yourself and your present condition is not only a waste of energy, but the worst habit you could possibly have." And that changed my life. And, you know, it started down a path to me where I totally changed my mindset and my path, and soon found this call, you know, found a way out of my present condition. And like Melvin said, it is. It's all up in the mind. Nothing is, you know, there's a lot of things that have remained the same, you know, in my life. but the one main thing that has changed is my state of mind and my outlook and perception, and not blaming others for my present condition, but taking a look in the mirror, looking at myself, you know, for what's going on in my life, and taking that personal action and responsibility. And I'm not wasting that time and energy anymore on feeling sorry for myself, and I'm taking action and doing what's required to make it happen in my life. And I just wanted to share that with you, and back to you.
Evan, that's one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard. I truly do mean that, my friend. Just, wow, kudos to you. Thank you so much for sharing that. It's amazing. It's amazing. What if it is true that every event, every person, every experience that happens in our lives is really exactly what we need to get to the point where we're at? I mean, that's an amazing thought for me to think about. Evan, you're the man. Thanks for being here. Star 6, who's next?
Hey, Paul. Good
morning,
John.
It's Judy from Florida.
Let's see. John, I think you were first there, my friend. Go ahead.
All righty. Thank you, Grow Rich Family. Without a doubt, gratitude, the state of abundance, the mentality of giving thanks for everything that happens in your life. You know, a lot of the times when things are going incredibly well, it's very easy for us to be grateful for the things that we see in our life. But it's just as important, if not even more important, when there's a little dip in the road, when there's a little valley, for us to maintain and even amplify that spirit of gratitude. And just as an example, I'll share with something that I'm actually going through this very day, right now. About 2 months ago, I implemented another company into my portfolio of companies so that I could develop a advertising stream of revenue. Because of the systems that I have in place, I was able to bring on a lot of people very, very quickly. In a space of 2 months, working a total of about four weeks, I personally sponsored 90 people, 90 people in 2 months working about 4 weeks. Well, it comes to find out the owner of this company is not paying people. As a matter of fact, I spoke to the guy personally, and he flat out told me for me to be able to get the money that he owes me, which is in excess of $10,000, which is a residual monthly income in excess of $6,000, residual, okay, that I would have to speak to an attorney. Now, if that were to have happened to me several years back, God only knows what would have happened. You know, I truthfully mean that. But because I am the person that I am today, because of our Think and Grow Rich Mastermind call, because of leaders in my life like Mike Hobbs, Paul Hutchings, Doc Fran, I am able to see the opportunity and the good and the blessings that are going to come out of this situation because of my attitude of gratitude. You know, I put out a post yesterday on Facebook that has absolutely gone viral. People have been connecting with me left and right, left and right, left and right. Yeah, this has happened to me. Yeah, John, thank you for standing up. Thank you for saying that. Thank you for stepping up. And it's just like this overflowing of abundance has happened and will continue to happen. What I learn from this experience, what I'm able to implement in my own life, in the lives of my team, will absolutely bless thousands. I have no doubt as to that. There will be an outflowing of gratitude, there will be an outflowing of abundance, there will be an outflowing of blessings from what could have been just a major, major setback if I would have allowed it to be. So my point here is, we often hear that 90% of what your life is isn't how what happens to you, it's how you react to what happens to you. myself on a personal basis, my self-development, my self-image is that I am a leader, is that I will succeed no matter what, and that I will bless people, that my story will affect others. So guess what? Guess what this has done for me? It has given me an incredible story from which to be able to relate to others and from which to be able to bless other people. Remember, you allow things to affect you. You allow. You have the power to dictate how you are going to feel about a certain subject, about a certain happening within your life. When you develop a winner's mindset, when you develop the mindset of abundance, the mindset that there is more, that there is no lack in your universe, everything that you touch, every situation that happens, everything in your life can be for the greater good. And I truthfully, and I'm being 100% honest right here, I truthfully thank the Lord for the many blessings, including this circumstance that he has blessed me with, because I know that I will be able to bless others because of it. Back to you, Paul.
John, that is an amazing story, my friend. I truly appreciate that. And I just want to challenge everyone to ponder, you know, the average person, the 90 percenter, the people that sometimes you see on Facebook complaining about this and that and the other, how would that person have reacted to joining a company sponsoring 90 people and then finding out that the owner's not paying people? And then listen to how John just responded to that. That, my friends, is an amazing, amazing insight to have into the mindset of the wealthy, successful, abundant-minded entrepreneur. And just a reminder, folks, we were getting so much feedback when John was talking. Please, if you unmute your line, make sure you mute it back out when the speakers are talking so that we can hear everybody clearly. Would really... Star 6 is next.
Good morning, my friend. Oh, Mr. Hutchins, how are you?
Hey, Rick, I'm doing great. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm doing incredible. You know, this is the subject that, this has been my life. This subject of being gratitude and looking for that equivalent seed of benefit. Whenever you come up with an adversity, it's been really the cornerstone of who I am. You know, my grandma used to tell me when I was a little boy, she said, Ricky, when I'm feeling a little disappointed, every disappointment is for a good. My friends, I didn't understand what that meant till I was about 19 years old. I've been living that ever since that time. And I'm telling you, I fly like an angel. Whenever I come up with situation, I just have this neutral attitude about things. My attitude about things, whether it's up or down. I found that since I've been in business since the mid-80s, that's the type of person that I've developed. I've cultivated that. I've developed that attitude that I believe that anyone can develop themselves because they wanted to. They want to look for the things, reflect back in your past and realize a lot of the things that you think that are misfortunes were actually opportunities. That's really the key. People go around all the time, why this happened to me? Why this happened to me? But the number one part what I see on the Sermon of the Mount is said, seek and you shall find. If you go looking for that equivalency, the benefit, you're going to find opportunities. You see, because opportunity, it comes to us, everyone. It comes to everybody. The thing is, most people are not ready for the opportunity when it comes. And so it passes on. And it comes multiple times. You see? And people have these negative self-talk to themselves. The talk, the conditioning that you have about yourself is the most important communication that you can ever have in your life. People can say all they want about you, but it's what you're saying about yourself. The gratitude, you got to stay in gratitude all day long. Your life is a constant prayer all day long. I cannot express how important that is, because I'm telling you, you're going to have a smile all over your face every day. Nobody can break you. No one could break you but yourself when you're in constant gratitude. I got to tell you, it's one of the most incredible things. And the energy that comes from that, people feel that. They will feel it a mile away. They know it. You're the type of person who constantly complaining and bawling and all this and that. Nobody wants to be around that type of person. You got to be in gratitude for every little thing. Just like you said earlier on, Paul, be thankful for every little thing, because it's all piece of the puzzle. It's all a piece of the recipe to live the quality of life you want. My friends, have a day full of abundance and opulence. Right back to you, Mr. Hutchins.
As always, Rick, appreciate your comments and passion. Really appreciate that. It's up six, is next.
Hey, Paul, it's
Mary.
Holy smoly! Let's try it again. Who's next? Quick.
Judy.
Marion.
Judy, go ahead, Judy.
Oh, good morning, everybody. And I do love this chapter. It is my favorite, An Attitude of Gratitude. I'm reading this paragraph that it is necessary then to cultivate the habit of being grateful for every good thing that comes to you and to give thanks continuously, which I do. I'm with Rick. It's something that I've been carrying with me a long time, and I like that about me. And it goes on to say, because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. And I believe that is absolute truth. I got a call this morning just before getting on our call from Tampa Bay General. A new friend in my life has asked, he needs a kidney transplant, and he asked if I would be available to help with transportation and care. After he gets a transplant, and this person calling from Tampa Bay General confirmed it. That's what she called me about. And the gratitude I have that a person would think of me with such respect and belief and trust that they would give me that opportunity to be part of their healing process and something so major. See, and that's being grateful for the small things. And that is a gratitude that I have. And I run into people who don't understand that, who don't understand that type of gratitude, to where a person comes to you and trusts you enough, values you enough. See, and that tells me I am on the right path. And it is part of my growth. And it is part of everything that I put into everything that I do. And this is how I grow in business and how people will trust me. And I love it. And I am grateful, so grateful for those small things in my life. And it's not always just about business. It's about life and what you put out. And it's exciting. It's magnificent. And I wanted to share that because I am just so happy for that privilege. And it's such a privilege, my friend, to be valued and to be trusted for the person you've grown up to be. And I wanted to share that story because it's a part of all of us on this call. This is the people that we are growing up to be. And we are valuable. And we are good messengers. Thank you, Paul. Have an awesome day. And right back to you.
Thank you, Judy. Really appreciate that. We'll keep on moving here. I know we got a lot of folks who want to jump out. Who is next?
Hi, it's Marion in Buffalo.
Hi, Marion.
Being grateful for the good things, the roses in our life, tends to be a lot easier than something that somebody pointed out to me the other day. I've always tended to look for, in the bad situations, the silver lining, the rose hidden among the thorns. But the message the other day was, we need to be grateful for the thorns, that the thorns prepare us for what's coming up. And the thorns are what helped us get where we are today. And that we should be thankful for them in and of themselves, beyond just the good things that we get in life. So I've been spending a lot of time thinking about that and how that has affected my life. And it really is true. So with that, back to you, Paul.
Thank you so much, Marian. Beautiful thought. Really appreciate that. Star 6, who's next?
Hey,
good morning. Good morning, Paul. This is Dr. Mitchell.
Doc Mitchell, go ahead.
I want to start by extending my gratitude to you for hosting this and for all your energy that you put into this and holding this family together. I also want to extend my deep gratitude for Doc Fran, who brought me in here and introduced me to this. And I had an inspirational thought last night that I would like to share, that which kind of follows with what Melvin was talking about earlier, is that which we say is often that of which we need to hear. We just need to listen better to ourselves. And I'm really inspired based on the principles of taking an airline flight.
Come here. There you go, boy. There you go, boy.
You know, when
good
you...
boy.
What is it they really tell you?
Doc Mitchell, if you would star 6 and unmute your line one more time. I'm sorry, we were getting a lot of feedback there. Dr. Mitchell, you there? Star 6, and come on out again if you would, please.
I'm here. Can you hear me now, Paul?
Yes, thank you so much. So sorry about that.
That's okay. It's all in right order, right?
It is, yeah.
So what I was saying was the idea of being on an airplane and getting the oxygen mask to come down, the instructions are given to always put the mask on yourself first, because in order to help others, you must be helping yourself first. So for the people that I've been listening to these last couple of weeks on this call, I'm really awestruck with the wisdom that I'm hearing. I'm so inspired to continue on my work. And I think it was John who was talking about, you know, you got to dig deep, but especially at those moments, and to really recognize. So as we approach this holiday of Thanksgiving, I also would like to extend the invitation to consider thanks receiving. You know, when we think about the food that we're about to embrace upon, and the idea that it was grown from the earth and all the seeds that were planted in order to grow that food or feed the animals, you know, all the components of that which makes this holiday what it is, you know, right from the origins, you know, to have such gratitude to be able to have these gifts, it in itself is a blessing. And I, like I said, I once had a conversation with my father. We were driving down the road, and I told him that he was a selfish man. And he almost drove off the road because he was driving at the time. And he looked at me like, how could you say that? And I told him that in order to not be selfish, it's also to be able to receive the gifts from others. You know, because I get as much pleasure out of giving, but it's not as pleasurable if it's not received. So in this holiday that we're about to embrace upon, to be thankful for the receiving as well as the giving. You know? And I'm inspired. So I want to thank you again, Paul, and thank everyone who's on this. And I'm so grateful to be able to be a part of the Think and Grow Rich family. Thanks, Paul. Take care.
Dr. Mitchell, thank you. I'm inspired, really just so grateful that you're here and sharing your wisdom with us. Those were really beautiful things you shared. Star 6, who's next?
Good morning, Paul. Super Duper Stan.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Super Duper Stan. Go ahead, sir.
All right. I just want to first start off and say, of course, myself, I'm just so, so grateful for the entire Think and Grow Rich family. So I'm not going to call names except two, and that is Deborah, who invited me to this call, and, of course, you, Paul, who's doing such a magnificent job in what you do there. But what I wanted to share here briefly is a little story about gratitude, and it's really, I would say, the first true life example that really brought gratitude into focus for myself. For about 10 years there, I worked at this prison, and the gentleman that he was a friend of mine. He and I used to carpool together to work, and we worked in the same office. Well, this gentleman, he loves fish, loved to eat fish, but he did not go fishing, did not like to go fishing. Me, on the other hand, I love to go fishing, and, of course, I love to eat fish. But this guy, he exemplified gratitude so much. And, boy, he was always, you know, talking about how he loved fish. And the people at the workplace that did go fishing, all of us, myself included, even though I love fish, whenever I go fishing and I catch a good little amount of fish or whatever, I would bring back a pack and share it with him. And, man, when you share him, when you give him some fish, he used to love to use the word cuz. He's a good man. I appreciate it, man. Oh, my good boy. And he would go home. When he'd eat that fish, he'd come back the next day. Good boy, I tell you. I mean, he just made a big, big deal of how good that fish was. Man, I thank you so much for it. Man, I mean, because he made such a big do out of it, he had a lot of other people. He had more fish, I'm sure, in his freezer than I had. And he didn't go fishing. And another thing, even the inmates at the prison knew how much he loved fish. So whenever we would go to the cafeteria, and on a day that they had fish, I mean, the inmates found out, man, this guy loves some fish, and he would say something to them. Them guys would fix an extra sandwich, even though they weren't supposed to, and put it in a little bag and come out there in the dining hall and set it down beside him. And, man, he would go back, and, I mean, just delicious fish sandwich. And I mean, that just showed me right then. I got to looking at it. Man, people are really pouring themselves out to him because he shows so much gratitude. So that's when it really turned the light on for me. And I started saying, hey, enthusiasm and gratitude about what any little thing people do for you really turns the light on in their head. Hey, well, let me do it again, you know, because this guy really appreciated it. Let me do it again. Let me do more. And so I got truly excited about it. And this chapter, of course, is definitely a favorite of mine, gratitude. And as again, I'm so grateful to all of you. And, Paul, you have – everyone have a super-duper Thanksgiving. And back to you, Paul.
Super-duper Stan, that was such a great story. I'm sure myself, like everyone else on the call, got this big smile. And we're all chuckling behind muted lines. What a great story. Thank you. Thank you, Super-duper Stan. Really appreciate that. Star Six, who's next?
Doc Fran.
Hey, Paul, this is Lisa.
Doc Fran and then Lisa, please.
Well, good morning, everyone. What a great – this is always a fun chapter because it's fun to see how many people can relate to and speak to gratitude. And one of the things that this line – there are two lines that really jumped out today, one that I'm going to bring back to our consciousness so that you can think about it. And it says, we are – thinking substance, and thinking substance always takes the form of that which it thinks about. That's a meditation. That's a meditation sentence for a lot, because that is perhaps a twist or a different viewpoint on this concept of thinking substance, which in and of itself required us to contemplate and really reflect on to grasp the meaning. The second is, and because all things have contributed to your advancement, you should include all things in your gratitude. And you've heard us express that concept. But what I want to talk about this morning is not so much the gratitude that I feel, but having come to the point that we're at, those individuals who have come to points of consciousness, and each of us are on a constant gradient of improving our consciousness. And it's not something that happens quickly. And so several of our speakers this morning have talked about it's easy to be grateful for things that we perceive to be good for us. It's far less easy to be grateful for the things that aggravate us or appear to drive us backwards. And it's important to know, if you're one of the people that feels that upset, that anger, that aggravation over things that appear to be going counter to your intention, rejoice in that and understand that you're totally normal. The Doc Fran that you hear on the calls today is markedly different from the Doc Fran that was 20 years ago, 30 years ago. And, you know, I can reflect back as I'm listening to this and enjoying the peace that I feel today because I've lived through these events. I can recall many, many times railing into formless substance at the top of my voice, you know, give me a break. And I have to laugh at myself now because the very thing that I was railing against turned out to be the break that I was asking for. And, you know, I guess 15, 20, 30 years ago, I started to understand a little pattern in my life where it seemed that I actually got to the point where I could understand that pattern and express it, and that was, it seems to me that, you know, no matter how bad something is that's happening to me, that I perceive it to be at the time that it's occurring, it always seemed to set me up for something better in the future that I had not yet conceived of. And there's an expression we've all heard that when God closes a window, he opens a door. And I challenge each of us to look back over our lives, as Paul has so eloquently done this morning on this call, and begin to see that very pattern in your life. Things that we railed against at the time they were occurring, things that we thought or viewed as something terrible, and yet out of that, the outcome was something good or better. And I've seen many times in my life, and we've talked about a few of those incidents, where there were events that occurred that changed the course of your future. And some of them seemed good, some of them seemed bad. I've made choices that were very bad choices and led to very rapidly a counterproductive outcome. But yet, on the heels of that, it brought me to something good. I've been in things good that could have continued into their natural endpoint, like my practice. And something happened in the universe. That window closed and a door opened. And it's a continual process because even as we speak, I've just finished a course of action of 2 years, which had a very pleasant, positive, ongoing, directed outcome. And then something happened that seems to have perhaps slowed or altered that outcome. And at the same time, not only did that window appear to close, but now not only a door, but an aircraft hangar door has presented itself as the next chapter of my life. And so the point of this is enjoy where you are, revel in where you are, be grateful for where you are, because where you are is exactly the perfect place to be because you can't make a mistake. You can't make a wrong decision. You will continually move to the realization and culmination of your life purpose, because that is what we have been created to do. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, God, thank you so much. Wow. Lisa, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm going to make this quick because I know we're going to end, but I'm just thankful for everybody, Doc Fran, and everyone that has made the their, you know, that has talked, and actually hopefully this story will crystallize everything. And I just wanted to make a point about saying everything, this whole undertaking, Think and Grow Rich, is really, I realized this morning, because before I do my definite major purpose, before I say it, I actually do a prayer. I have a prayer time, and I realize that this whole undertaking is such a spiritual undertaking. To actually realize, to go outside of yourself, to do your definite major purpose, to take actions, to commit, to decide, is a task that is worth the undertaking. And I realize that there is a scripture that talks about counting it all joy when you fall. And Doc Fran was saying, be thankful even for the difficult times. And one of the habits that I have, is when I have difficult times, is I start counting, literally counting. I literally say, and this is what my story is. This past July, my mom, I'm her, basically her main caretaker, actually had brain surgery. I had actually been at a point in my business where I was gaining momentum, starting to make lots of money. My mom had to have brain surgery. I have two children. I had to, you know, get up in the morning, make sure, you know, travel 40 miles to make sure that she was okay, go back and forth. And then it happened again. She actually had to have brain surgery on the other side of her brain. And I was completely stressed out. I wasn't making any money. But I remember to start counting. And I remember that I started counting that I have my health. I have two children. I have a husband. I have a business. And all of those things caused the gratitude to well up to the point that when I would tell the story, people would say, well, where have you been? I hadn't been at the gym. Well, you know, my mom had brain surgery. What? Are you serious? Well, you're doing pretty good. Well, I'm grateful. I'm happy. Not that happened, but I'm happy for what is to come as a part of that. And to be able to do that is something outside of yourself, really. It's something outside of yourself. It's just an action that must be undertaken in order to get to where you need to be. I still have goals. I believe that I will reach the goals. I know I will, and I'm thankful for that. So I just wanted to say, like it says, when you fall, start counting. Be a person and start counting, and you will see the gratefulness just well up inside of your life, inside of your world, and then your purpose will remain on. Back to you, Paul.
Wow, Lisa, that was the perfect summit to the mountain of wisdom we've received on this call today. Thank you for your example. Thank you for your strength, and thank you for sharing your story with us. Folks, let's get out there today and be grateful. Let's move forward in a positive way. Let's take action. Let's plow through temporary setbacks. And I challenge each of you to maybe ponder accepting or adopting a belief that was inspired in me by Doc Fran, and it's one that I've been working on that deals with what we're talking about today. And that belief is, I accept each and every event that happens in my life as an experience that God has given me for my own benefit, and am so grateful for those events. I love you, everyone. Make it a great day. We'll see you back here tomorrow morning on Think and Grow Rich Call.